We stopped, Forbes, when you were talking about the horse running away and the type tray spilled and you had hard type or handset type all over Second Avenue. Did you have to pick all that up yourself, or did you have a helper too?
It never was picked up. The kids go around, picked up a lot of it, bring in, try to sell it back to them. It wasn't worth anything. You know, by the time it goes all gravel streets in, by the time a few horses had walked up and down the street and stepped on the type, it wasn't even type high anymore. But
what year was that approximately?
Oh golly, you've got me there. Gosh, I'd have to do some.
Yeah, well, let's go from there. Did you said you worked at the News Miner for 17 years?
When we worked there and went, Jalmer moved all that. I forget now what he went into. Anyhow, he dropped out of the newspaper. Amongst them Bernie Stone. Anybody that was here in the days of him will sure remember him. He was a boy that was in the days of Prohibition, and he really appreciated a drink. He'd been drinking pretty good this time, and he came to work and walked right through the front door. There's a big long glass went down with about 4 or 5 inches of the bottom of the door, and he walked right through it and went in there hunting for what he needed. And he came back and he saw that broken door, and he was just madder than blazes, you know, that who the dickens had broken the door, and he'd find out who did that and get him to pay for a new door.
Hello, Bo.
And
this is Forbes' dog named Bo. Hello, Bo.
And we picked up another line of type, and about that time, when Cap Lather bought the News Miner, and shortly after that, why, he put up that new beautiful building on Second Street.
Lather Building,
and the first really good apartment building in town. And used the downstairs for the News Miner. So we moved. We had two linotypes then, 5 and an 8. We moved them up there, and then bought a 14 shortly after we moved up to the new location, new press. And Ip Lean worked up there. You remember him?
Oh, I know him well.
Yeah,
yes.
He was just a kid around there, melting lead.
Ip's, and I just heard from Ip not too long ago. He is in Oregon in a veterans hospital.
Oh, he had trouble. Was it a weight problem?
Yes, he had a weight problem. And he had has some problem with his legs, and so he's there recuperating.
No.
And he's, when I heard from him recently, he had taken off almost 130 some pounds, so he's making progress.
Oh God, he's a good guy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he was a lieutenant commander during in the Navy during the.
I heard from him recently, it was about 6 weeks ago. He said that he had been in Washington for the certain phase of the pipeline hearings. I'm not certain exactly what it was. And while he met his sister there. She's married to a retired military man.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the hearings, and then they went to a reception for the new congressman, Don Young, which was hosted by Senator Ted Stevens and his wife.
Uh-huh.
And Senator Greening was there.
Oh.
And he recalled how he was the military aide to Senator Greening in Juneau when he was a lieutenant commander,
right.
and Greening was Governor of Alaska during World War II.
Yeah, that's right.
But back to you, Forbes. You continued then working under the Lathrop ownership of the News Miner.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Did you retire finally from News Miner?
Oh, well, I left the News Miner and had a an editor by the name of Tewksbury. It was he had two sons here that put out that Tewksbury Almanac. Do you ever see those?
No, I haven't seen those.
I got two issues of that. They're kind of museum pieces. And I went from there, from the News Miner, got a special release to go to work for Weens, some machinist up for Ween, Alaska. Or before it was Ween, Alaska, just Weens. And Ernie Hubbard was master mechanic up there at the time. And Fritz was running the mechanical end of it. And so I stayed with them for four or five years, made A&E mechanic rating with them, and from there went to work for Frank Gray with the CAA, CFAA now, and retired from that in, when was it, 1959, retired from the CAA as foreman mechanic. And have been retired ever since.
That's the first year of statehood, 1959. Well, you've been an active retiree then.
Well,
because I've known you since 1959, and I know that you and Hertha, your late wife, have been extremely active in civic affairs.
She was a good executive. Organizer. People appreciated her to the point where they kept her busy all the time. Too busy, maybe. But
it was about the time you retired that you ran for legislature.
Yeah,
was it 1960 that you...
Yeah, well, I was not the first 2 years. I was still in the FAA then, or CAA. And but I was retired in the second term. I served in the second and third terms of the legislature.
So you ran then in 1960, probably.
60 and 62.
60 and 62. So you served four years.
Four years. Yeah.
I recall when people in the interior, not we, but someone coined the term the three B's: Baker, Boggan, and Binkley.
Yeah.
And I think you all were elected the same year, 1960.
Yeah, we were all elected the same year, and all went back the same way. We stuck together for the two terms, and had pretty much the same philosophy, political philosophy. It was interesting. In fact, I really enjoyed it.
Do you, by any chance, recall what the budget might have been in 1960? Well, it would have been 1965, your last session.
I don't know. There's a figure that keeps running through my mind every time I see some of these astronomical budgets they're putting through now. That was $17 million, and I'm pretty sure that was at least a proposed budget at one time. They had no, state didn't have any money then, and no place to get money. And now, since we picked up all of this easy oil money that nobody had to earn.
This year's budget, I think, was passed at $352 million.
Something like that, yeah.
No. I think it might have been a little more than $17 million in 65. $17 million maybe was just one department. But
probably
it's a vast difference, I know that. Tell me about the formation of the American Legion post here in Fairbanks. You've been associated with that for many years. Was it organized after World War One?
Right at the in the Legion they have to be a discharged the veteran. And so it was the, as they became discharged, it drifted back to Fairbanks and formed the post. Yeah, I was in it, charter member of it. I was in outside the first year of it, first two years, I guess, of its operation. But was still a member because my mother had put in my...
So you're a chartered member of the Dorman H. Baker.
So I'm a chartered member.
And your brother Dorman, after whom it is named, you said he was killed in World War I.
He died down at Camp Lewis of pneumonia.
I see.
In World War I. Died in, I forget that, February, I think it was.
Besides the American Legion, you've been very active in the Masonic Lodge in Fairbanks.
Yeah, I went into the Masons in 1928, and or 22, and became active in it, and was master of the lodge in 1928. And then in 39, I made secretary, and I held that until just a few years ago, and retired out of that. Without Hertha's help, it's just a tremendous job for a man that's not an office man by...
Yeah.
By training.
When I worked at the News Miner, I can remember Hertha would bring in material on the lodges had typed up and spent, I could tell, many, many hours researching and gathering names. She was very meticulous in her reporting. The names were spelled correctly and everything was capitalized that should have been capitalized.
It used to make her pretty provoked at all the effort she'd go to give them as near perfect copy as they could, and then see it come out of there with names left out or misspelled. Or
typos. Since your retirement from, I should not say retirement from active work in the Masonic Order, because I know you're still active. What other activities do you pursue? Do you belong to the Historical Society, the Pioneers of Alaska, or anything in that line?
I went through the chairs, as they call it, in the Pioneers, past president of the Igloo Number 4, and I'm fairly active in it. At least I attend 10 meetings, and in the American Legion and Masonic. During the years I was secretary, I was very active in it, in the Masonic Lodge then.
How many years did you say that
I was secretary 30 years.
30 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big responsibility.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of work. I've been involved. Sometimes you just fall into these things and you get more involved and more involved, and it is a lot of work.
Then later on, I got into Rotary, and which is one of my chief pleasures now, is my association with that.
I know today, this just happens to be the longest day of the year, June 21st, 1973. And this Rotary Day, I know. So
Rotary Day, and also we have a Panners game starting at 10 o'clock tonight. For
the Gold Panner baseball game.
Baseball team.
Are you going to take that in?
Oh, you bet your life.
My daughter's going to take that in. I expect I'll be going too.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. So I've ever met your daughter, have I?
No, I don't think so.
Probably
she's
not.
She's 16 and in high school.
See, there's quite a difference in the paths you travel between 16 and 80.
Yeah. Well, Well, you're leaving tomorrow or the next day to take a little holiday in England. Tell me a little bit about that. What's the reason for going? Just a holiday or a rest, vacation, well, or?
If you can find a reason why, tell me, but you might find it out sometime. I don't know. But 5 or 6 years ago, I was in England for about 16 days. And through a mutual friend here in Fairbanks, I met her brother and wife in London and became, you know, in that short length of time, fairly well acquainted and very, very enjoyable. And about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, had a letter from this lady's grandmother in Fresno, California, that they were she was going to England with the granddaughter and her husband, and going to visit with this Larry and his wife. Why not come along? Well, that's sort of a roundabout way of getting an invitation to make a trip to England. But
you're going.
But I just happened to meet this girl right just a few days down at church. Met her after I got this letter. She said, "We're going to England, Charlie and I and my grandmother." She said, "Why not come along?" I said, "Do you mean it?" She said, "I wouldn't ask you if I didn't."
So that was your second invitation.
That was my second, so I thought, okay, well, I'll go along.
You'll surprise him and go.
So I got myself a fresh passport. And the bank said they'd finance it. I thought I could cut the mustard. Tomorrow morning I leave for about, I guess, 26, 28 days, something like that.
And you'll be back in time, I hope, for our Golden Day celebration.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I don't want to miss that.
Yeah, that's something I look forward to every year.
You know, the nicest thing about the Golden Days is it brings people together that don't see each other from one year's end to the next. And lots of us are close together, too, you know.
I think I know what you mean, Forbes. I enjoy the pioneers. I belong myself. And I enjoy the Christmas dinner, for example,
mm-hmm.
where people, you live in the same town with them, but you don't see them maybe for 1 year or maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
Same for Golden Days at the mug-up. I really look forward to the pioneer mug-up.
That mug-up is it's really an event. Because it puts a... The beautiful thing about the pioneers is that formality went out the window when they formed the pioneers. They're just good people that like to get together and socialize and, well, reminisce up to a point.
This particular Golden Days, we're speaking now of the Golden Days celebration. The pioneers are active in Golden Days and have quite a few activities. But one thing that comes to mind, I just was talking with someone about it just a few days ago. They're going to rededicate or recreate the driving of the Golden Spike ceremony, which happened 23 years ago.
Oh.
No, not 23 years ago. 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Happened in 1923.
You mean Harding was up there?
Yes, and the railroad and between the Nenana Chamber of Commerce and then some local officials in Fairbanks, they're going to have a ceremony there the 15th of July. I'm just repeating this in case you didn't know it.
No.
Were you there? Did you travel?
No, I wasn't. No, I was here. But
you were in Fairbanks, but
I was
didn't.
In Fairbanks, but good down there. No.
So you didn't? Did Harding come to Fairbanks?
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's a chair down at the Masonic Temple there that he sat in and enlarged it. That they put a little brass plate on it.
Did he attend a Masonic meeting?
It wasn't a meeting, no. We just called a special meeting to have him present in the temple.
More of a reception for the...
Something like that.
Do you recall what else was... Tell me some of the other things that were done in his honor in Fairbanks, President Harding's honor.
Well,
there were only... Just a comparatively few cars in town. They had a motor parade, and there was a insurance agent, insurance man here named E.H. Mack. You might have heard the name. Mm-hmm. And he had just bought it was a beautiful red car with a open top. And I can still picture in my mind with E.H. Mack driving Harding around in this beautiful car in this parade. And show you how much people knew about cars. And E.H. Mack drove that thing for 6 months or more before he knew that there was higher than a second gear in it. He never did get it in high gear.
For 6 months he didn't have it in high gear?
No, some mechanic showed him what to do, how to get it into high gear. Then he had to go to start practicing how to do some more shifting. Then he attended a dedication up at the ballpark, and the ballpark then...
President Harding, no, we're not...
President Harding.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Well, you remember where the old line of hangars was on
Weeks Field. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Up there, they built a special grandstand up there. And he was up there.
Was that just a reception for him, or they have
a talk. He mm-hmm. he gave us an excellent talk. A man by the name of Markham, I believe it was. It was mayor of the town at the time. Had to go across a long, long footpath on Cowell Street across a big slough up there, just before you get to what is at that time was the Pan Am Hangar, but they had a racetrack up on Weeks Field in those days.
Fords. Automobiles?
For the Fords. Tom Gibson and some more of them, Bob Sheldon.
Weeks Field brings to mind another event that maybe you attended. Well, it wasn't a planned reception, but it was the time when Howard Hughes stopped at Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. Do you recall that?
Unloaded all his ping pong balls.
Sam White told me about the ping pong balls. He said that Howard Hughes had used them as, put them in his plane when he left to fly. He was on a round the world trip.
Yeah.
And Fairbanks was the last stop.
Had him in there for flotation.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, Sam White gave me two of those
ping pong balls. Oh, he did?
Yes, he did. And I've preserved them very carefully because I know their value.
It's amazing what became of them because they started digging them out of there. I knew the chief mechanic, or one of the mechanics up there at that time, Jack Warren, and he was just shoveling them, almost shoveling them out of the wings, digging them out. Hughes wanted them out of there on account of the noise, batting around in the...
I understood that they had them packed in the fuselage and
everywhere you could get them.
Place. Just in case he went down and see, he would float. That was the concept.
Yeah. Well, I guess it made sense, but I've often wondered what in the world did become of those, because there were lots of them.
Well, you know Chuck Hoyt.
Well, sure.
I was talking with Chuck Hoyt about this one day, and he said that he remembered that, and he guessed that every kid in town was there that day and went off with his pockets full of ping pong balls.
Yeah.
And those.
But I have two of those ping pong
balls. You still have them?
Yes. Oh, I haven't been in a very safe place because I'm not certain why Sam gave them to me. I was at the News Miner at the time and doing a lot of historical writing.
Uh-huh.
And am interested in it. Belong to the Pioneers, and I belong to the Historical Society. So I think maybe he thought I would see that they were
well
preserved. And
you
they
and
will be. They'll be in a. I intend to give them to the museum.
Yeah. Well, you along with a lot of other newspaper people have treated Sam kindly over the years. He's deserving every bit of it. But.
Well, Forbes, your wife, Hertha, died in what year?
1967.
Mm-hmm. And you have a son named Forbes, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you used to work for Alaska Airlines here now.
Oh,
where
yes.
Was he at this time?
Yeah. He was doing good with the Alaska Airlines, so they made their big shift in personnel, which led him out. He's down in Seattle now, his family.
His name is Forbes Jr.
No, he's Forbes Dorman. He's
Forbes Dorman.
He's
Baker.
Named after.
And does he? Both. How many children does he have?
Well, he only has one boy, Greg. And Greg is married, living down in Astoria. He's fishing out of, got himself a 42-foot boat, and he's fishing out of
Astoria. And then
the youngest daughter is down in Louisiana. I was down and visited with her this spring. And she has five children is down there.
Has she lived in the States most of her
life? Well, not most of her life.
Most of her married life?
But their married life. But,
and what is her married name now?
Bowles.
Bowles?
B-O-W-L-E-S. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a dealer in heavy equipment, and he's got quite a bit of land down there, plants to rice.
And then your other daughter, Evelyn, is here in Fairbanks.
And Evelyn is in Fairbanks, and she's with the highway department.
And Evelyn is the mother of three children, right?
Yeah. She has Hillary, the girl, and Jim, the oldest, and Ken, who's